Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
Dateline, January 15th, 1947. A diabolically devilish crime committed just minutes away from Tinseltown. A beautiful young girl cut down in the prime of her life in the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles police are baffled by the absolute brutality of the crime and have launched a citywide manhunt. The victim, aspiring young actress Elizabeth Short, a small-town girl just trying to make it in the big city. The police aren't for lack of suspects either. Soldiers, socialites, and suave actor extraordinaires are being investigated. What have they found? Who's responsible for one of L.A.'s most legendary murders? Join the theorists as they pound the pavement and try to figure out which John Doe did in the dame in The Black Dahlia.
Back.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing Case File 127, The Black Dahlia. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
That's the crew back live with minor,
that was,
minor live stream issues. You guys were all fucking muted the first time.
Thank God.
Oh, what? So no one even heard my bad intro?
No.
Good. It's a fucking blessing.
God awful.
That's very favorable for me. What do I sound extra nasally today?
Yeah, you sound like shit.
You sound horrible today.
Really? Yeah. I don't know.
Just mute him.
It's got to be.
Okay. I don't know. It just. I'm still waiting for my nose job. It's happening this year, 2020.
Kidding.
The year of the nose, baby. Year of the nose.
Getting that sucker fixed. Look at me straight on. Oh, yeah, it's about 3 inches to the left.
Yeah, don't look at anybody straight on.
Yeah, pop
Can
that back
tilt
in
your
place.
Head a bit like a curious dog.
I need it fixed now because ever since I got my teeth fixed, I have a Tom Cruise tooth now.
You got a center
it's
tooth?
In the middle of your face?
Yeah, just a centered bad. So I got to get my nose fixed now so I can not have the Tom Cruise tooth.
But look how well he's doing.
Yeah. Is he, though?
I mean, but it's, honestly, Braden, at this point, you're just kind of putting lipstick on a pig anyways. Who cares?
Oh, look at you today, eh?
Just razzing your berries. Swinging. All right.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
The long-awaited case file ever since we did Elisa Lam way back. We always said, we're going to do one on her.
Did we, though?
We did.
Did we?
Yeah. Crazy.
We did. I remember talking about that, and we're like, oh, shit, same place, same area. We got to do a case file on that, and then we never came back to it.
I know. I was so excited when I was going through the suspects for this one because I was like, oh, you know, fucking Jack was there. You know he wasn't.
Jack's back?
He wasn't. No, he wasn't born yet. Yeah. He was born in the 50s. Mm. Fucking bummed me out.
Too bad.
Yeah, I was looking forward to doing the voice again, yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't sneak him in.
Like I just did?
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, instead of, let's not get into it right now. I've got a couple things for a little bit of space news.
What the shit? Space news.
I wasn't even prepared for it, man. You can't drop that shit on him.
Surprise.
I thought you wanted me to mix it up.
Who said that?
No, nobody
said
that.
When did we say that?
Just trying
that
to
that
be
was
a wild card.
For the randomatron, we said mix it up.
Stop trying to be a wild card.
Keep
okay?
us on our toes here. Jesus.
Okay, sorry. We don't have to do it. We can do it later.
No, we played the music.
Played the
now.
Music.
Now you have to do it.
Watch him not have any. He's got no space news.
No. I got some space news. Don't you worry. No auroras. Zero auroras.
Thanks for listening to the space news, everybody.
And away we go.
A powerful radio signal from deep space appears to be repeating in a 16-day cycle. That's not interesting space news?
Cool.
It's kind of cool. But also, pulsars do that. So
every 16 days, though?
Yeah. Pulsars are like, some pulsars are like clocks. So they send out like fast radio bursts of like radiation, fast radiation bursts, anything like that. So it can be, some of them can be pretty on time. Or even if you, I think one of the theories of that, that whole fast radio burst, I read some, was that it indicates like an orbital interference. So there might be like a planet passing in front of like a pulsar or something.
So maybe. Astronomers with the Canadian Hydrogen Intensity Mapping Experiment, CHIME, collaboration in Canada, observed this cycle for a total of 409 days. And so it goes every 16.35 days, the signal, which is named, this rolls right off the tongue, FRB180916.J0158+65, follows a similar pattern. For 4 days, it will spit out a burst or two every hour. Then it falls silent for 12 days. Then the whole thing repeats. It's been doing this for 409 days. They don't know what it means yet, but it could be another piece in the complicated conundrum of fast radio bursts.
Alien signals.
Alien signals, baby. They're out there.
That's cool. Right? That's pretty cool.
As soon as there's a pattern, you're kind of like, it intrigues you a little more, right?
Yep.
Makes you, I'm like, ooh, pattern. I also had the White House request significant NASA budget increase to fund Artemis project or program.
Ooh, cash money for the nerds, for the space nerds.
How much extra?
It's a 12% increase to $25.246 billion for NASA in the 2021 fiscal year. That's up from $22.629 billion. So a little more money for NASA to fund their missions to Mars and Moon and all their endeavors. Lying to us and making space LEDs.
Keep the fake internet ISS camera going, the fake ISS feed going.
Yep, cut it out right when...
That's all I had for space news.
How do people
do fake high def images of Earth from space?
Yeah.
How do people debunk the continuous stream from space?
CGI?
Because someone says like, oh, they only show you for 3 minutes or something. And I was like, I just watched an hour and a half live steady. Yeah.
It's really relaxing. Like you watch it. They have really pretty cool music set to it.
I have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Well, that's
about right
why
now.
We know it's fake. There's no music in space.
What is happening? What?
Space news, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Space news over?
Yeah, that's it. That's all I had for space news. That's why I thought we'd do it at the beginning, because it just had a little bit of space news.
Oh, shucks.
Get it out of the way. Make room for the topic at hand.
Yes.
Bring it.
The Black Dahlia. Well, Andrew, you've been...
Chomping at the bit.
Remember last time you guys made me fucking do one of these? Didn't go well.
It always goes well.
No, we're fine. It's good.
Are you gonna read off your little script, or are you gonna do it from the heart?
From the heart? Seriously, guys are dropping this on me last minute. I gotta do this.
You're the one you brought up the whole topic.
First of all, listen. Al Pacino has nothing to do with this fucking case file. I don't know where to start. Okay? I mean, I saw the movie. Josh Hartnett's in it. He's good.
Good shit.
Guy's a babe.
Yep.
Doesn't do much. You know that he was offered the role of Spider-Man, turn it down? Did you guys know
Andrew,
that?
Andrew, you sent us 10 pages of notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Copy and fucking paste, man.
You had a written intro.
So did Dan.
I didn't write an intro.
Okay, listen. Give me 5 minutes to get the fucking peanut butter out of my mouth.
No, he's just pandering to people because people think he doesn't know, but he knows.
Knows what?
You fucking know.
People
this
are calling
case.
You Andrew Pacino.
Wow, that's the greatest compliment I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Okay, so are we getting right into it then?
Right into it.
So what's the Black Dahlia case?
I'm fucking nervous now.
Bust open the case.
One day there was a lady that was walking down the street. That's what it's going to sound like. Okay, you ready?
She was walking down the street.
Do it in your Pacino voice, and that would be better.
Okay. Okay, so one day there's a... No. Okay, on the morning of January 15th, 1947, Betty Beersinger was pushing her three-year-old daughter, Anne, in a stroller down the sidewalk, heading to a shoe repair shop. She paused when she noticed what she thought was a mannequin lying in the grass. But as soon as she looked closer, she discovered something very alarming. A mutilated corpse.
Fuck.
She grabbed her daughter,
and hold
Anne.
On, hold 1 second.
Yeah.
If you didn't already know by the name Black Dahlia, and Andrew just prompting the word mutilated, this case goes through some sensitive stuff. So if you're one of those people like, I wish you guys warned me.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Here's your warning. He just said mutilated.
No,
we're
listen.
Gonna get into
like
it.
Mutilated.
Mutilated.
We're, like if you're watching yeah. live stream, I got fucking so pics.
We got pics.
We got pics.
Pretty gross.
Yeah. Okay. So like, yeah, it's getting, it's rough.
Put
so,
the kids to bed. Put yeah. the kids to yeah. bed.
So let them watch the show is rated 18 plus.
Good old yeah, Betty B. Good old Betty B. grabbed her child and ran to the nearest house where she told them to alarm and let the police know what she saw. A few minutes later, the authorities arrived and kickstarted what would be the most mysterious murder case in LA history.
God dang.
God dang.
God
that
dang.
Was good.
That was great.
Yeah, you did a fine job.
There you I'd go. Say that's a pass.
That was good. Right. So let's get into what did they find? I know they thought, why did she think it was a
So why did she think it was a mannequin, Braden? Is that yeah. what, that was the last question we had there? Because
yeah,
I,
why do, why
I would imagine
it
because you've like, you know what I mean? Being the average person, not ever really seeing a dead body, a, you know what I mean? Like it didn't even really present like a normal dead body, right? Because first of all, it was fucking severed in half. The body was posed in a really awkward position. We'll kind of show a picture of that.
Yeah.
But not only that, like when you say mutilated, that's a fucking lightly used word. You know what I mean? She had the full fucking Glasgow smile, basically.
Ugh.
Sitting there looking like the Joker. Heath
yeah,
Ledger
carved,
version, right?
Cut ear to ear, like the cheeks opened up to expose a permanent smile.
And like, we'll go into more details on the coroner's report, but realistically, like for me anyways, with the weirdest part of the looking at the pictures of this body is the fact that there is not a fucking drop of blood.
Well, there's not a drop of blood at the scene,
well,
which
exactly.
means she obviously didn't die there. And with this kind of mutilation, like you wouldn't expect, there was obviously a kill area that was private for, cause there was, you know, there's evidence on her body of prolonged torture as well.
Or you can't find blood that's been drinking
vampires.
Shit. Zell, do you know about this?
I've been alive.
What Zell, were you doing you, in fucking you, June of 1947?
Dude, I haven't
where
aged
were you,
in
January. Yeah. Where were you?
Where were you? See? Yeah. Better tell us.
I haven't aged in 600 years, boys.
Listen here. Tell us a scoop,
was
Zell.
600 years? It's like 70.
So
but yeah, that's cool.
It, you know what I mean? So it was a pretty bizarre sight. And like, we'll get into more details, but like, we're talking severed in half, like right at the, so it's called a hemiporectomy.
A what?
Hemicorporectomy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is like a very precise fucking incision was made by somebody who obviously knew what they were doing. You know what I mean? Like this lady,
there's a spot like where in your lower spine where you can cut and then basically sever someone in half easier than other places, right?
Well, exactly.
Basically, and that's the only spot. That's the only spot you could probably do it.
It's right in between the second and the third lumbar is where the incision's made. And it was like perfectly cut. You know what I mean? Like it obviously didn't look like a fucking, you know, Jason Voorhees hack job. Like somebody did this with the intentional. Right.
Right.
So, I mean, like we could get into the coroner's notes and all that first. But I think before we do that, we should kind of just like, as far as we know now, this Black Dahlia was found murdered. We don't really know
well,
who this
Jane
person
Doe,
was.
She doesn't even have a name.
Well,
yet.
Not yet.
We haven't. She hasn't gotten called the Black Dahlia yet. Exactly. But like, this is a fucking human being. You know what I mean? Like, and like, who was she? What, you know, what was she doing there? You know what I mean? I think that's kind of important to dive into.
Yep.
Okay, tell us about it.
So it turns out that they were able to ID the DB at the time because it was just a DB as Elizabeth Short. They were able to actually look up her fingerprints because she had an arrest for underage drinking, you know what I mean, a few years back. So they were able to actually get some fucking personal info from her once they found out her name. And this is the fucking, probably the greasiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So I don't know if you guys know, but do you know how the press contacted her family?
No.
They were able to find her name, which was Elizabeth Short, and they called her mom and said, hey, guess what? Your daughter won a fucking beauty contest.
Whoa.
We're wondering if we can interview you and get some fucking background information on your daughter.
Oh.
So they're able to get, you know what I mean, some personal, intimate information from the mom being like, oh, yeah, my daughter, yeah, this is all about her. This is who she is. This is what she did.
Ruthless, man.
And at the end, they told her, hey, sorry, your daughter's actually been murdered, and we're willing to pay you for your fucking accommodation and your flight to come out here.
Dirty
and
tricks right there.
How fucked is that?
Yeah, the press were real assholes on this case, weren't they?
Ruthless. But
buddy, anything to get the scoop.
Now, dude, I heard they were...
I got the scoop, see?
I read that they had... Just like the police made it a point to kind of make the press out to be kind of the bad guys. Like they said that they may have had a kind of big role in as to why this case became unsolved, because the press were everywhere. They were all over this, and they even had people like press were interfering with the case in ways that like you would never see today. Apparently there were some like members of the press who would go to the police station and they would answer phones and they would keep information about the case away from the police. Like they wouldn't let the police know like about leads or anything like that until they had like followed them through or stuff like that. So it was,
they wanted the scoop. See, they wanted to know what was buzzing, cousin.
And this was such a like a hot story, a hot scoop back in the day that, you know, it made headlines scoop. All through America, right?
A hot scoop, see?
Hot scoop, see?
So anyways.
Sounds like I'm picking up dog shit.
I got a question. Yeah. Did I zone out? How did Elizabeth Short get the name the Black Dahlia?
Well, that's a good question. We'll get into that. So let's give some information on her first, right? So what they're able to ascertain from her mother was basically that that Elizabeth was born in Boston. Then she's
Baston
with all the microprocessors and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
So she spent her early life moved to Medford, Massachusetts, before relocating to California to live with her dad. Apparently, right off the bat, as a young child, she had dreams of becoming an actress.
Who doesn't?
Right? That's true. But, I can't believe. So here's another. So here's this young, nice girl growing up in fucking Medford, Massachusetts, wanting to be an actress. Things seemingly going her way. And then all of a sudden, because of the Great Depression, her father, who was a fucking mini golf mogul. Not sure.
Mini golf mogul.
Not even fucking exaggerating that at all. He
used to build mini golf courses.
Cleo Short was the guy's name. Okay. So he's going, everything's good. Business is booming. Everything's fan fucking tastic in the mini golf putt business. Okay.
You're telling me that Elizabeth Short was the heir to the Short mini golf fortune?
Fucking Jesus,
nice, man.
That's unbelievable.
Damn straight she was. Well, she was until the Great Depression hit.
No one's golfing during the Great Depression.
And unfortunately, it hit the Short family very hard. And then good old Cleo here decided, hey, you know what? I can't afford to have a family and a bunch of daughters anymore. So Cleo drove his car to a bridge, parked his car, and what everyone thought was jumped off the bridge and committed suicide.
Right.
Which we later find out was not the case. Which, you know what, could have potentially led to a little bit of unfortunate daddy issues by poor Elizabeth. But anyways, so Elizabeth thought her dad was dead, kind of was raised in Medford. Dad one day, 12 years later, sends a letter being like, hey, guess what? I'm not dead.
Not dead.
I'm living in California.
Psych!
Surprise!
So Elizabeth decides, hey, you know what? California seems like a good place to pursue an acting career, and moves in with her dad. Unfortunately, that only lasts about a week.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Well, exactly. Like the guy sounds like a little bit of a piece of shit, right? Like, fakes his own death, whatever.
Yeah.
So she moves in with her dad. Things go well for a couple days, and then they start fighting. He starts complaining that she stays out all night. And then he boots her out.
Get out. Get the fuck out.
Oh, and you should read, like, there is, you can read the actual, like, they interview him when she ends up dying. And you listen to this guy talk, and it's fucking horrifying. He basically says, like, hey, you know what? She wasn't willing to keep, to clean the house and take care of me, so I kicked her out.
He killed her.
Ooh. Well, he was a suspect.
A wonderful 1940s male mentality.
Yeah.
Times have changed.
So after she got kicked out of her father's home, she took a job at, which is now, she took a job at an Air Force base, which is now the Vandenberg Air Force Base. I'm not sure where that, do you know where that's located, Dan?
Vandenberg.
Vandenberg?
Is that Airport, a place? I don't know. Yeah. That's.
Shoot. I can't remember. Nope. Not off the top of my head. Vandenberg Air Force Base.
I thought it was in Los Angeles. That's what I had, but I don't.
It's in California.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yep. So she took a job there and actually ended up shacking up with an Army Air Force sergeant who ended up beating the shit out of her. Which is,
wait, is this, are you talking about Joseph Gordon Fickling? Andrew?
Good question. I don't know. I don't have his name down.
Okay. I think Fickling, a lieutenant?
Fickling comes later. I think, unfortunately, Elizabeth is on the wrong side of a
couple of relationships, yeah. It seems.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. So unfortunately, she was shacked up with this guy, ended up getting beat up a little bit, and ended up kind of fleeing for Florida, where she ends up meeting a Major Matthew Michael Gordon Jr., who was another decorated Army Air Force officer. And things actually go really well with him. They end up getting engaged, and you kind of think, okay, great. Elizabeth's going to live that, you know what I mean, that happily ever after life. And unfortunately, he was deployed in China, and his plane went down, and he died.
Damn.
Right? So it's at this point, you're like kind of like, fuck, man, when's this chick going to catch a break? And she ends up not catching a break, obviously.
No breaks.
So after he dies, she kind of moves to LA and kind of lives a little bit of a drifter lifestyle for a bit, pursuing that movie career, right? Where things don't really work out. And we kind of end up where we are, you know what I mean, now, what we just talked about.
Okay, this is a crazy story, but I want to pull up, if you're watching a live stream, the pictures of the crime scene. So, you just fucking get up here, you little bitch. There.
Yeah, this is not fucking pretty. So, FYI.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sawed clean in half.
Yeah. Spoiler. Or not spoiler.
Oh, warning. Graphic warning. Dude.
So, while you're looking at these pictures, I'll kind of go over the...
Can I get us pulled off of YouTube for nudity?
I don't know.
No, we're 18 plus.
We're 18 plus.
I hope not.
Oh, so you can show nudity on YouTube?
Yeah, that's why we're all naked the last podcast.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I think a little skin's all right, but...
So the coroner's report basically states that there were ligature marks on her ankles, wrists, and neck. There were irregular lacerations with superficial tissue loss on her breasts. The body had been cut completely in half by a technique taught in the 1930s called a hemicorporectomy. I'm sure Dan can say it a little more eloquently than I can.
Nope, you're perfect.
The lower half of her body had been removed by transecting the lumbar spine between the second and third lumbar vertebrae. She actually had all her internal organs removed. They did notice that there was a very little ecchymosis, in which ecchymosis is bruising, right? So if there's no bruising, you know what I mean, on the dead body or the corpse, it kind of leads you to believe that that all these kind of operation type techniques and the removal of the fucking body parts were done posthumously.
Posthumously?
Yeah. So after she was dead.
Post-death removal.
Yeah. And there was also another odd one too. There was a gaping laceration measuring 4.25 inches that ran from the umbilicus to the pubic region, which I don't like. You know what umbilicus is, obviously, right?
Yep, like the belly button.
Your belly button to your fucking groin.
Yep.
And those were kind of the major ones that they reported at the beginning. And then when they kind of do a little bit deeper dive, they find some fucking bizarre shit. Like Elizabeth had a tattoo on her inner thigh that was cut out and inserted inside her.
Oh, Jesus.
Along with like other fucking pubic hair and stuff like that were jammed inside her. Like just super bizarre shit. And then again, I know I already talked about, she was given the Glasgow smile. So she was cut from side to side of her mouth.
Yeah. Ear to ear.
From ear to ear. And then eventually the cause of death
cigarette burns on her back.
Like horrible stuff. Oh, and then she was also fed feces.
Yeah, they could tell by their stomach contents was when they did tests that she would force fed feces.
Everything's weird about this situation, obviously. No kidding. Not one weird thing. But there was no presence of sperm whatsoever. But that could be because she was fucking scrubbed clean.
Right. Or they were in a condom.
No. The body, one of the things that they said is that they figured the body had been scrubbed clean prior to being laid out. Like this was intense. Someone didn't just like go and throw a body out of the side of a truck. Like someone like took the time to like, you know, position her in. They wanted to make a scene.
Yeah, like
they did.
She was definitely positioned in a really bizarre way. But at the end, she was actually like, the cause of death was actually deemed blows to the head and face. So basically what I'm assuming is...
She got clubbed,
she got beaten, bludgeoned, and then that's when all this kind of fucking freaky shit happened. Which right. is, I don't know, kind of a blessing.
Quite the murder.
Yeah, like horrific.
One would say.
Fucking horrific, man.
Ugh.
So right away we have all this fucking, we have this horrible, gruesome scene with absolutely fucking no suspects, nothing. Right? Like
and this is such a fun topic to talk about.
Well, yeah, it's gross, but you know what I mean? Like there's no suspects, but the first thing that maybe, you know what I mean? This has obviously been done with somebody with some type of medical experience. So they started rounding up all college students and stuff like that and doctors and interviewing them, but they really had nobody they liked for the case right off the bat. And which, like, you know what I mean? I don't blame them because I feel like in the 1940s, you had like a 99% chance of getting away with a crime unless you were caught there. You know what I mean? Like,
it does feel like the Wild West of like.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, unless you fucking wrote in blood, like,
I did this.
This was me.
Yeah, you got minimal forensics. I mean, you got fingerprints and stuff, but if you're not imprinted already, how are you going to find it? There's no DNA testing.
Oh, have you, like, there's a fucking, the John Mulaney's comedy fucking special, like New Guy in Town or whatever, he's like talking about 1940s murder. He makes a joke. He's like, yeah, we have a dead body here. It's, you know, lots of blood everywhere. And then the detective's like, gross. Mop it up. What are you going to fucking do with that shit? It's fucking hilarious.
So how she got the name Black Dahlia is there was a movie out, The Blue Dahlia, and... She was Elizabeth was described always wearing, had a pendant for wearing black clothes and black tailored suits and skirts, and having really jet black hair. So she was given, the media gave her the nickname the Black Dahlia, which just took off like fire. And that's kind of it's just stuck with her. And she was described as an adventuress and she prowled Hollywood Boulevard looking for men and,
So that's
where she got the name, the Black Dahlia.
Made a character out of the murder.
Well, yeah, anyway, basically. Like the Blue Dahlia movie itself too fit fucking perfectly because it was a movie about basically an investigation that produced over 150 suspects in the movie. And it kind of just, it fit way too perfectly, right?
Oh, so that's probably the more of the connection, like the unsolved part of it. Because in the Blue Dahlia, no one was cut in half.
No, fuck no. No, this is, you couldn't put this shit on TV back then.
But all right, like, so who do we like for this?
Well,
who do we
before
think?
Before we even like anybody, right? The first thing that starts happening before, you know, because nobody's really been like there's no real suspects yet,
right?
You can tell whoever's done this is starting to fucking get a little impatient because obviously if you're gonna mutilate a body like that and leave it in fucking broad daylight, you want attention, right? You're obviously seeking some sort of attention. So now that they haven't really caught on to anything, there starts you know what I mean? You start have all these fucking people that, hey, it was me. I admit it. You know, and like with all murders, you have these fucking crazy people who start calling in and claiming that they did it. So they round all those guys up, get nowhere. Then we start getting fucking letters.
Oh, that's right.
So on January 24th, a suspicious manila envelope was delivered to the U.S. Postal Service. The envelope was addressed to the Los Angeles Examiner's office. And Zell, I sent you the links to that. You should pull those up. But it's like, you know what I mean? It's exactly what you'd expect when you get these fucking letters cut out from a fucking newspaper. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we've seen it, I don't know how many different times. It's, you know what?
This might be stereotypical.
This might be the original one. This might be where they got that fucking idea from, right?
Right. Okay. I have two. There's two letters. There's, are these the ones with like, like newspaper clippings pulled out?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Look, are you like Dan and you got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So here's one of them. I will give up in Dahlia Killeen if I get 10 years. Don't try to find me.
He then claims that he will give up her.
What?
Huh?
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well.
That's no.
We'll give up. Oh, so if he gets 10 years, he'll turn himself in.
Yeah, exactly.
I guarantee him 10 years.
And then to prove that he's, you know, the right guy, he ends up fucking saying, he says, I'll send in some personal effects of the Black Dahlias.
And this was the other one. It says, this was, yeah, addressed to Herald Express, or Herald Express to Crime Department LA, go slow, man killer says Black Dahlia case. Kind of cryptic. Doesn't give much information there.
So then he ends up sending in some of her personal effects, such as like her birth certificate, business cards, photographs, and an address. And this is all this stuff is sent in an address books with, it's actually, the address book was personalized. And the name on it was actually Mark Hansen. So bang. We've got our first suspect.
Dude,
our
Mark,
first real one.
Mark Hansen is the guy I get pizza from every other week.
What? You supporting him?
I guess I'm supporting a murderer.
Zell, what the fuck? Is he a vampire too? How is he still around?
This guy's been alive for a long time as well. Go way back.
It's in the pizza sports business.
Supports the vampire theory.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Okay, so who's Mark Hansen?
Vampire.
Good question.
It could be.
Let's get into him.
So here we go. Mark Hansen, a nightclub and theater owner. Had known Elizabeth Short.
Oh, he has a nightclub. So he only goes out at night. Still vampire. It's like 100% vampire.
Solved.
Done.
I'm connecting the dots here.
Well, listen, like it also says here that he had, in his nightclub, he had parties where blood would rain down from the fucking sprinkler heads. Like
It does not say
it does.
That.
It does. It's 100%.
It's exactly what it's
in
there.
It says in the notes. Yeah, right there.
Yep. Regular blood parties.
Yeah. So Hansen,
you guys are making that up.
So like, remember when I was saying,
are we,
she was a bit of a drifter for a bit there. We're, you know what I mean? So Hansen actually allowed Elizabeth to live in one of his homes. And on several occasions between May and October of 1946, Antoth, who was Hansen's girlfriend at the time, shared a room with Elizabeth in a house close to Hansen's nightclub called Florentine Gardens. On January 8th, 1947, Elizabeth Short called Mark Hansen in Los Angeles from San Diego. Mark Hansen was one of the last people to speak to Elizabeth before she disappeared on January 9th, 1947. When the LAPD interrogated Hansen on this conversation with Elizabeth, he made several contradictory statements. Yeah.
As?
I don't have that down. But I just bet you it's lots. I bet you it's very sincere, very contradictory. Can't say that word. It's hard.
Well, it's like 1940s too. So I'm like,
I'll take their word for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll take their word.
When we get back to one of those packages that the examiner received, the package included her birth certificate, business cards, address book. But the biggest thing is on that address book, like I was saying before, it was personalized to Mark Hansen. Hansen had told the LAPD that the address book had belonged to him, yet he had never used it. He said that he had given the book to Elizabeth as a gift to use on her own.
That to me makes a lot of sense, because I'm like, okay, if you're going to do this kind of murder and you're going to set this kind of scene, I don't think it's, you're just like, oh, well, you know what? I'm just going to send in this thing with my name on it. That'll fool them. And then I want to play this little cat and mouse game with the authorities where I say, I have to go, oh, that wasn't me.
I gave it to her.
There was a lot of reports, though, too, that Hansen had tried to seduce Elizabeth on several occasions, and she had refused it every time. So this guy's letting her live with him for free and trying to seduce her on the rag and getting nowhere. So, you know what I mean? He could get frustrated one day and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to cut you in half and cut your mouth open.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like him for this, only because I think this is more of a tactic that the person who did do it had that and was like, perfect. This has someone else's name on it that's obviously connected to them. It's just gonna muddy the waters of this investigation.
Easy cover.
Oh, totally. I totally agree, right? But that just goes to show you that the person who did this obviously had like intimate knowledge of Elizabeth's life. You know what I mean? Like he obviously knew that this guy was close to her, right? And that's a fucking great way to incriminate him.
Yeah.
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 I don't like Mark Hansen for this.
No, I don't fucking like anybody else other than this one piece of shit that I read about. I feel terrible. And I think it's hilarious because as soon as I started learning about this one guy, like his son wrote a book about him, made a bunch of money about it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this guy's fucking selling books. And all of a sudden he's comparing his dad to the Black Dahlia murder and the Zodiac murders and all this shit. And I'm like, this guy's just trying to make some money. And then I started reading.
Andrew even said that to me. He's like, I don't like this guy for it. His son just wants too much money. He's just, totally. He's making just all this up for
fucking
money.
Fucking cheesy. And then I started like actually reading, and it's like, holy fuck, he definitely could be the Zodiac killer as well. Like, sold. All on board. That's exactly who I think did it.
George Hodel.
This is the man. Shit. This is the guy. This guy's.
This is so granddaddy.
Again, his own son, Steve Hodel, has accused him of being the Black Dahlia murderer, and his son was a detective, who had 300 investigations under his belt.
So do we want to get into a little backstory of Mr. George Hodel, or do we want to know why he got, how he got tied to the case to begin
with? Let's go the whole backstory.
Give us
I think it'll give you a good view of who this person was.
Bring us back.
Yeah.
The fuck is George Hodel?
So Dr. George Hodel was born on October 10th, 1907, raised in Los Angeles. He was an only son, well-educated and highly intelligent, scoring 186 on an IQ test. He was also a musical prodigy. Top grades in every single school he went to. He entered the prestigious California Institute of Technology, Caltech, in Pasadena, but was forced to leave after he had an affair with a professor's wife and actually impregnated her.
That's never a good affair.
No. So he's already, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, like, you look at it, this guy's a fucking just brilliant guy, good at everything he does. Hodel then graduated from Berkeley pre-med in June 1932 and enrolled in medical school in the University of California, San Francisco.
So he has some knowledge of the human anatomy.
There we go, right? There's a little bit of a red flag to begin with. After getting this medical license, he had success and ended up becoming a... What the fuck was it again? He was the head of, like, venereal disease research.
The Social Hygiene
Bureau. That's right. Yeah. The Social Hygiene Bureau. And you know what I mean? He was kind of like he was a mover and shaker in Los Angeles in the early 40s, right? He ended up becoming fucking friends with a lot of famous people, a lot of important people. And you got to think too, right? He's the head of the Social Hygiene Bureau, which included stuff like venereal diseases and STDs and stuff like that. So you got to assume he's going to have fucking serious information, serious blackmail on people, right? Like, he's going to know a lot of intimate details about a lot of different people.
Ooh, a lot of important and celebrities and like powerful people.
Totally. He also shared an interest in sadomasochism and the darker side of art and philosophy.
Sadomasochism?
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
Good question. Maybe Dan? I think he basically
If you've ever seen the movie Hellraiser, then there you go.
Ooh, like a lot of leather,
a lot of nails, a lot of weird shit.
Okay.
Yeah, so he enjoys like inflicting pain.
Here it is. Is the sadomasochism is the giving or receiving of pleasure from acts involving the receipt or infliction of pain or humiliation.
Sounds fucking horrible, man.
Hellraiser. That sounds brutal.
So he's in this lifestyle. He's living it up in the Hollywood scene. Partying, drinking, and definitely womanizing. Like, this guy's going from wife to wife to wife. And basically, he's basically a polygamist at this point in time, right? He then purchases what is called the Sowden House in 1945. And like, Zal, if you can open up that link, this house was actually made by Lloyd Wright. And he's the son of American architect Frank Lloyd Wright, which is a fucking super famous architect. And like, when you look at this fucking building, if you have any ideas about, you know what I mean, in your brain, you're like, I wonder where a supervillain's gonna live.
Yeah, allegedly it was modeled after a Mayan temple. That's what I heard.
And it's exactly where it looks, what that looks like. It's fucking crazy looking, man. Like, this is exactly what I'd picture. And if you're listening, like,
is this it?
That's the pool. Wait till you see the house. Wait till you see the front of the house. Keep scrolling, man. It's like,
Look
at his fucking place.
What is this place?
It's a supervillain's lair.
No kidding.
Like, that's exactly
100%. That's a villain's lair. No wonder you didn't want me to look at this. You wanted me to see it now. Hey,
if you're not watching, if you're not watching the live stream, the pool has like, it looks like it's a pool in like a pyramid complex.
It's fucking crazy, man. Like, this is like
the front, the hallway. What is this, the dining room or something? It's got like stone carvings. This place looks fucking insane.
You know, and that's,
is that him?
I think that's a guy who plays.
I was going to say this guy looks like an actor.
Yeah. But like, this place is fucking crazy. And this is what, you know, and he used to love hosting all these crazy sadomasochism, fucking creepy parties, right?
This is the place to do it.
Totally. Totally.
For sure.
Oh, 100%.
So how does Dr. Hodel get involved in this? So he first
kind of came under scrutiny in October of 1949 when he was accused of molesting his 14-year-old daughter, Tamar Hodel. So the story goes, Tamar ran away from home. They called the police. They couldn't find her. Police end up tracking Tamar down. And they're like, what the fuck's going on? Why are you running away from home? Why are you running away from your creepy fucking sex dungeon palace? And she goes on to tell the police, hey, listen, like, I've been getting molested by my father, George Hodel. So they end up, she ends up going into detail during the trial and says, basically, she came home one day from a date and she walked in and saw her dad looking to be hypnotizing these two other women with his friend. And they brought her into the room, got her to undress, and weird shit went down. Hodel was actually acquitted from that. And like the fucking, you can listen to what his defense was. And this is, he's quoted saying he was merely delving into the mystery of love and the universe, and that actual events that took place are unclear to him. And they were like a dream. I can't tell if I was being hypnotized or if I was hypnotizing someone.
That gets you off.
That's what got him off.
I was on drugs.
And, you know, there was three witnesses in that trial that testified to seeing him have sex with Tamar, with his daughter. People saw it and testified, and he still got acquitted.
And they ended up just turning the tables and basically painting her as a pathological liar.
Jeez.
But the one crazy thing that happened during this case is it came out, the defense counsel actually came up to Dr. Hodel and, you know, not Dr. Hodel, they came up to Tamar. And they were trying to expose her for being crazy on the stand, and basically said, "Is it not true that you accused your father of being the Black Dahlia murderer?" And I guess what happened was
she accused her own father.
Well, she heard that her dad was the fucking. She heard him talk about it,
right.
Talking about him murdering Elizabeth Smart supposedly, and went to her mom in San Francisco, and that ended up coming up in the trial. Well. The police obviously were keeping a close ear to this trial and heard that, you know what I mean? He was accused of being the Black Dahlia murderer. And they're, you know what I mean? You look at all the evidence. This guy's a fucking doctor, right?
It's so wild to me that that's how they like got on to him being a suspect is like they overheard, like it came out in a trial that his daughter and they're like, oh, I guess we'll look into this guy. See?
Totally. And
bug his house.
Well, and that's what they did. So after hearing that, so let's be on. Let's say Hodel got off on everything. He was he wasn't charged for anything. His daughter got labeled as a fucking crazy pathological liar, and everything's good with him. So after hearing that, though, the LAPD put Hodel's house under surveillance. They installed two microphones in his house, which were monitored by 18 detectives. They wanted to see if Hodel would make any comments to insinuate that he was involved in the Black Dahlia murder. Most of the transcripts were dull at first, with Hodel having sex, betraying his secretary, and talking about money problems. However, in February 19th, 1950, there was something horrific in the recording.
What was it?
8:25 p.m. Woman screamed. Woman screamed again. It should be noted the woman not heard before the scream. I don't know what the fuck that means. But later, the same day, Hodel was recorded talking to his confidant. Realized there was nothing I could do. Put a pillow over her head and cover her with a blanket. Get a taxi. They thought there was something fishy. Anyways, now they have figured it out. Kill her. So, you know what I mean? Like, they've heard, that's fucking crazy.
Yep.
And then they keep listening. And they hear, supposing I did kill the Black Dahlia. They can't prove it now. They can't talk to my secretary anymore because she's dead. Which is a little bit bizarre. And it ends up turning out that the secretary comment is referring to Ruth Spaulding, who died from a drug overdose. And
he also goes on to say, they thought there was something fishy. Anyway, now they may have figured it out. Killed her. Maybe I did kill my secretary.
Maybe I did?
Yeah. Like, dude, fucking wild.
Well, it's
stuff
super wild, especially
house.
Considering that Hodel was already investigated for the murder of Ruth Spaulding. He had been present when she died, and he had been fucking caught burning some of her belongings. But yet the police dropped the case due to lack of evidence. Like, what
just,
the
I
fuck?
I think this guy was very well connected in a time where being as well connected and as wealthy as you were, you could just buy your way out of these problems.
This is
especially
probably,
with your connections.
This is the era of the fucking dirtiest police force in fucking American history.
Half owned by the mob.
LA cops were notoriously corrupt at this time in history.
Well, like the perfect example of that was like right around this exact same time was when fucking Mickey Cohen was going to go to trial and dish on how corrupt the LAPD were. And one night after fucking finishing up dinner with a girl and a few of his fucking, you know, lackeys or something like that, he stepped outside of a fucking restaurant and his entire entourage got fucking shot down with shotguns right in front of him. And this is days before he goes to fucking trial. And then he decides to drop the fucking case. You know what I mean? Like, this is a seriously, seriously fucking corrupt police force at this time. And you got to think about it too, right? Like, this guy, Dr. Hodel, is the head of the fucking, what was the hygiene bureau or whatever like that. This guy could be packing some serious fucking...
This guy might know how to scrub a body clean.
Totally. He might know how
to... Well, and the other thing is he's having these parties, these huge sex parties at his
cops
weird
attending.
Aztec temple mansion, right? And like, who's to say he's not taking some blackmail photos, right? And like... And stuff like
Jeffrey
that,
Epstein?
Or like he has people on this list, or he knows things. Like he was here having an affair on them, and these people were there together, and like just information that people don't want out at this time, right?
Oh, totally, man. And like you got to know too at this fucking like first of all, something that not many people knew about him, but he was also giving fucking illegal abortions. And you look at a little bit of the research of the crime scene photos and the coroner's report. The incision made from the super the umbilicus, the super pubic region. You know what I mean? Is an incision that's made in hysterectomies and fucking, you know what I mean? And he's got familiar knowledge.
He's got medical knowledge,
right? Like it's fucking crazy. And then on top of that, you got to add in, I can't find the fucking page, but his relationship with a really famous fucking artist. Where is it? Man Ray is the guy's name. So,
arch nemesis of Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
He also does art on the side.
Oh, okay.
So Man Ray was a really famous surrealist. He focused on a lot of fucking sadomasochism type art styles and stuff like that. And I guess George Hodel idolized this guy. He was a fucking huge fan. And they ended up becoming friends. He ended up coming to his parties. They became friends. And he actually ended up taking a lot of like fucking family portraits and stuff like that for George. And they built this really strong friendship. And one of the really, really weird things about this is if you actually look at some of this Man Ray's artwork and compare it to the fucking crime scene photos, they are like eerily similar.
Dude, here's one of them.
So this is his really one of his most famous fucking portraits called the Minotaur.
Man Ray's Minotaur.
And if you look at it, it looks exactly how Elizabeth Short's body is fucking positioned.
Posed, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how fucking bizarre is that? And then you look at another one called the Observatory of Time, and I think it's of Time and Love. It's a set of these like giant fucking lips. Where you can kind of see where they're stretched out and it almost looks like it's got the fucking Glasgow smile. And he's got a couple other fucking portraits of this beautiful woman with this jet black hair. And they don't know who this portrait of the woman's supposed to be. But it looks eerily similar to fucking Elizabeth Short.
Creepy.
Now, another interesting thing about him, he takes off. He doesn't stick around in the States for too long.
Well, as soon as he gets brought in, as soon as he ends up getting kind of talked to about Elizabeth Short's murder, he ends up fucking off. He ends up taking off right away. Where does he go, Brad? I think he goes to Hawaii and then he goes
Philippines.
Yeah, he goes to the Philippines and then he comes back to Hawaii. But like perfect timing. Like, you know what? I'm getting the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
He's probably who I like the best for this case, and only because, you know, his son has come out and been like, I'm fairly certain, almost to 100%, that my dad was, in fact, the Black Dahlia murder. he matches handwritten notes of his dad's, like, talking about Elizabeth Short. He found receipts of concrete bags that matched the concrete bags that were laying underneath Elizabeth Short, the same that his dad bought the same day or the day before the murders. Like, he's got a lot of interesting looks. Yeah. And then just
dive into that a little bit more. So, like, one of the only things that they found at the crime scene was a fucking empty bag of cement. Right?
Just like the cardboard.
Yeah, just like the fucking whatever, the cardboard bag.
Cardboard bag, yeah.
And then they have a fucking, this guy has a receipt that his dad purchased bags of cement on the exact same fucking day that Elizabeth Short went missing.
And he wasn't a contractor.
No, and he's the same brand. You know what I mean? Like, that's fucking crazy.
Was it same day delivery?
Here's the one thing. I'll say with that. I can't imagine in 1940 you had this wide selection of concrete that you do now.
That's fair, but
I'm just saying.
Especially not bagged concrete like that was probably a newer thing.
Well, not only that, though, but too, one of the only kind of fucking things that they had to go on initially when they first fucking went around knocking on doors to look into the case was the fact that somebody saw that evening, they saw a black sedan sitting outside the exact same area that she was found for a few hours. And turns out Hodel owned a black sedan that looked just like the fucking description that the guy gave.
Huh.
So you got the cement, you got that, you got his fucking surgeon pass, his weird freaky deaky sex fucking background.
Him basically saying, him being accused of a murder already.
Totally. Right. Well, and that's the thing is he could be linked to several different fucking shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And then things end up getting a little bit freakier. And this is cool because this actually just happened recently. In July of 2018, Sandy Nicholas of Indianapolis, while going through her recently deceased mother's personal effects, discovered a dying declaration letter written by her grandfather, W. Glenn Martin. And this letter was 70 years old. It was October 26, 1949. The handwritten envelope read, "In case of Margaret Ellen or Glenna Jean's death," and was initialed WGM. So the letter was written out of fear that one or both of his teenage daughters might be killed. The three-page letter identified that W. Glenn Martin was a paid LAPD police informant and was working for Sergeant McCrawley. He described his activities as working undercover for the LAPD to help them discover and arrest corrupt police officers. In his words, it was to try and see if other officers could be... Oh, I can't say that word. That's inveigled into crime. Does that sound right?
You can say it. Inveigled? Sounds right.
Inveigled?
Sounds like a word.
Let's go with it. Into crime. The Martin letter went on to say the name G.H. on 17 separate occasions, identifying him as a personal acquaintance of Martin's as well as Sergeant McCauley's, and named him as the killer of both Elizabeth Short and the second lone woman, Louise Springer, the Green Twig murder victim. So G.H.,
George Hodel.
Martin's letter later claimed that both he and G.H., George Hodel, personally knew the Springer woman and that he believed G.H. also killed her.
Fuck.
Right?
All right.
Right?
All right.
I like George Hodel for this. I mean, his family, there's podcasts with his like granddaughters that go through like the story of how fucking crazy this guy is.
Like his granddaughters, which end up actually being the children of fucking his awkward incesty fucking love child that he had, which was Tamar. Isn't that fucking crazy?
A little bit.
Right?
A little bit.
And they end up going into this guy's fucking backstory. And it's like, we're just fucking kind of like skimming the top of how much of a fucking creep this guy was.
Yeah, there's a lot you could there's podcasts that go into George Hodel and his life.
Dude, I just stumbled into that podcast. What was it called?
I'll fucking pull it up here real quick.
Root of evil.
Roots of all evil. Yeah, roots of all evil.
Root of evil.
Root of all evil.
Look at the podcast. It's a good podcast. Root of evil. It's like, I think it's like 8 or 10 parts, and it goes through the whole family story of why they think this guy was fucking a murderer, psychopath.
But I mean, like, out of all the people, and like the Hansen guy, kind of, you can tell, might be a little bit there. He actually knew her. But like the other suspects were like country folk singer Woody Guthrie, and they liked him.
Yeah, but. You know who else they pegged?
Orson Welles. Yeah, but
what? And there is some actual, like, George Hodel has the most information. That's why he's if I was a betting man, I'd put all my chips on him. But I was like, there are some interesting situations with Orson Welles in this case that raise some eyebrows.
Totally. Like, I definitely think Orson Welles had a little bit more to do with it than fucking Woody Guthrie. The only reason they brought Woody Guthrie in is because he sent fucking sexually explicit letters to a fucking fan. They're like, yeah, this guy's mother, he's a piece of shit. Probably did it. Let's bring him in. His music
Woody
sucks.
Guthrie.
Follow the lead.
Sexual deviant.
Hey, I got the scoop here. You know Woody Guthrie? I'm not trying to rouse your berries nudes. Here, but let's get buzzing, cousin.
I like Orson Welles. This is a good one too, because he had a really violent temper, right?
Noted
violent temper. 3 months before Elizabeth Short's killed, he is making mannequins for a movie called The House, A Lady from Shanghai. And the mannequins were used for a House of Mirrors set. And he was creating these mannequins with basically identical lacerations and cuts and like torn in half the wounds that Elizabeth Short had.
Right.
They were deleted from, they were, the scenes using the mannequins were eventually deleted from the movie. But in one of Elizabeth Short's older sister, Virginia, claims that before her death, Elizabeth had wrote letters home saying that a movie director was going to give her a screen test. And this is shortly before she goes missing. Orson Welles also had performed a magic act to entertain soldiers during World War II at the scene of the crime. So he was very familiar with that area. He also applied for his passport on January 24th, 1947, the same day the killer mailed a packet to the LA newspaper. Welles left the country for an extended stay in Europe for 10 months after the murder without completing the editing of Macbeth, a film that he directed and starred in despite persistent attempts by the Republic Pictures to get him to finish the film. He was just like, no, I'm not coming back. I'm not doing it. And this is right after like this stuff, like incriminating evidence gets sent, right? So you could make the case that he sends this knowing, what's the guy's name? Martin. He sends the handbook in, right? To the LAPD.
Yeah.
And he's like, hopefully this gets them off me.
Mm.
And I'm going to take off while the confusion's out there. And he doesn't come back till things cool down on the investigation.
Also, if you don't really know who Orson Welles is, do yourself a fucking favor and go on YouTube and search Orson Welles drunk outtakes, Paul Masson wine commercial, and it's probably the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like the guy's legitimately fucking blackout and trying to record a commercial. We should watch it on After Hours. It's, you will not fucking regret it.
I would play it now, but I think we get flagged.
I will say this though, Welles was never officially a suspect in any investigation with this case.
Police
effort. So those are just loose.
The only real. So you're telling me that Orson Welles, the voice of Unicron from the 1985 Transformers movie, is a suspect in the Black Dahlia case?
No, he wasn't a suspect, but
Nobody who voices a planet-sized Transformer would be a suspect or a serial killer. Come on.
Dan knows. All
right, well, let's get into some more. Can this case, is there any supernatural angle?
Dude, we already seen this girl drained of blood, cut in half.
Yeah.
And we do know that Zelly has been alive since 1947.
I don't know how I believe.
Like precision
cuts. He said 300 years before we started the podcast.
I said 600 years, actually. But
600 years.
I mean, the guy.
It was a trick. I got you now.
I've seen the guy write in Aramaic. I've seen it.
Dude, I speak that shit for breakfast.
Yeah.
And Zell can get that dad rage going on. I've seen that.
I've been known to have a slight temper sometimes.
He is known as the Scourge of Carpathia. Like, you know this.
Dan, why don't you take us down your theory of the Black Dahlia?
Yes.
Okay, so hear me out.
Gotcha.
Dan's going to take us on a journey.
The house is allegedly, Lloyd Wright designed it based on the layout of a Mayan temple. Now, as we all know, the Mayans disappeared at some point. They're also
disappeared.
A lot of connections you could draw to extraterrestrials that perhaps some of the Mayans were in contact with extraterrestrials. So
like that.
We've been there. We've been to Chicken Pizza. We've seen the landing pads.
You got this kind of thing coming on here. Now, 5 years prior to this murder, all right, you had the Battle of Los Angeles. Right. So 5 years, you had a huge UFO sighting, multiple hundreds, you know, if not thousands of witnesses.
1,500 mortar shells shot in the air.
Right.
I'm just estimating, but that's probably pretty close.
What the fuck is the Battle of Los Angeles?
Get out of here.
What?
Are you part of this podcast?
Are you even on this podcast?
I mean, I don't listen to it, but like, what do you mean?
Quick sum up. What was the year? 1942?
Yeah,
thanks. No, it's February 1942, I'm pretty sure. I'm going off the top of my head. Radar picks up an object coming slowly over top of California. They think they're being attacked by Japan. So they're on red alert. All the air siren warnings are going off. And they get something in the spotlights in the sky. They spot something. And they begin to fire mortar shells at this thing, and they don't
AA
stop.
Guns, flat cannons, everything.
They light up
and
the
this
sky.
Is legit.
1,500 mortar shells.
This is 100% happened.
This is it.
Yeah,
100%
happened. This happened.
This is one of the wildest news, UFO right? cases.
So that was 5 years before this.
Yep.
And this thing just drifts away. It doesn't. None of the mortar shells affect it. It just drifts away, and then radar picks it up the coast, and then it disappears. And the official story was weather balloon.
Had to have been.
That yep, is invincible to mortar shells.
That somehow struck Elizabeth Short.
Now,
and cut
in,
her
the
hat.
Months, in the months leading up to.
Wait for
in
it.
In the
wait
months
for it.
Prior to the Black Dahlia, the discovery of the Black Dahlia murder of Elizabeth Short's body, as recently as October, you had one George Adamski. George Adamski was a prominent UFO.
Sorry, did you say George Adamski?
Hadolsky?
Oh, so it's
George
Hadolsky? GH?
Nope.
I heard George Hadolsky.
George Hadolsky.
That's better.
Could be.
Adamski.
Hadamski. Maybe he changed it. But George Adamski was a prominent UFO kind of researcher at the time. Also, he was a self-proclaimed contactee. He said he was in contact with extraterrestrials from places such as Venus.
Of course.
Right? And he said that in October of 1946, he sighted a UFO in the San Diego area. So same state. Right? So now you have UFOs in this area. You have this body which has been bisected, drained of all its blood, organs removed, reproductive organs moved, often a hallmark sign of an alien mutilation. And this same year, the Roswell crash.
Oh, happened. Shit.
Oh, shit.
So you know that extraterrestrials were in the neighborhood.
I mean, we seen bodies like this?
Well,
other than Elizabeth Smart.
No,
there's
the one in Brazil.
The one in Brazil, the Guaraparinga case that we talked about. One of our confidential.
Drained of all blood.
Really?
Looked like it had vacuum holes on it. Yeah,
oh,
and laser cut incisions on the body.
Dude,
it happens
with like livestock too, right? A lot of livestock
gets eviscerated. I thought.
Well, the drained of all blood and like. You know, stuff removed doesn't seem possible.
Oh shit! This is fucking cool.
Especially the reproductive organs thing. The reproductive organs being removed in that way or something. Yeah.
Do they make them eat poo though and jam stuff up their vaginas?
Okay, well that could be that can be explained by some sicko just walk by and I don't know.
Yeah. Homeless people are weird.
Homeless people are weird.
Maybe this person.
Well, and here's going to dance theory. One of the things. one of the things I noticed about this is like a lot of the reports that you read and go into say that like all of her organs were removed, right? And then some will be like stomach contents. And I'm like, the stomach was there? But all the organs were removed. So I don't know what information has stood the test of time and what's been added. I mean, this is fucking, you know, how many years? 60, 80 years ago now?
Almost. Now, you could say that even if it wasn't extraterrestrials. Now, extraterrestrials is a stretch, yes. But also, you have this kind of thing where organs were removed, which is kind of like a hallmark of human sacrifice.
Oh, Aztec temple.
You got the ancient Mayan. You have ancient Mayan Aztec rituals, which did in some regions, you know,
eat the heart.
Especially probably during the 1950s and stuff, it was like kind of common knowledge or believed to be common knowledge that the human sacrifice was a Mayan Aztec thing, you know, ancient Central America rites. You know, maybe getting into that surrealist, you know, nihilist looking thing.
Well, in that,
a little bit we dark right there.
We talked about that fucking podcast a little bit, the Root of Evil or whatever. And like this guy's great, or his. Are they his granddaughters or great granddaughters? I can't remember.
I think they're great granddaughters.
I think it's his granddaughter.
So his granddaughters, yeah, I guess 80 years ago, that makes
80
sense.
80 years ago.
Yeah. So his granddaughters actually go back to his what they call the Franklin house or the Soudan house. They go to this house and they visit it and they go in the basement and they report feeling like this really fucking overwhelming feeling being in the basement. And it's a creepy ass looking dungeon. And they drop to their knees and they cry and all this shit. And I'm just like, okay, you know what? I normally don't buy into that stuff. But like, I remember going to fucking Alcatraz and like walking in there and the fucking heaviness, man. Like I've never felt anything like that before.
You feel the death.
You can feel it. You know what I mean? And like, maybe that's what happened. Maybe fucking Elizabeth Short was sacrificed in that fucking creepy ass dungeon.
Well, yeah, the guy did have a fucking Mayan temple as a house.
You know what I mean? They drained all the blood and, you know, took the organs, did some weird shit with them. I don't know. You know what? It could have been aliens.
Hey, occultism was huge
totally
during that time. Like that whole spiritualist kind of thing was still kind of rolling around. You had like, this is post World War II, 1947. So kind of, you kind of had that occultism stuff kind of still rolling around in there. So it wouldn't be, I wouldn't say it would be far off.
No. And it you know, it could very well been fucking aliens or, you know what I mean? But, you know, they could have done that shit too. They could have fucking operated.
Especially if it was a one-off. Because it's like, I'd be more inclined to believe that the murder was like that kind of thing. That it was some kind of human sacrifice just to do it and see what happens.
Right.
Because you didn't find any other bodies like that because it definitely would have been in the news.
Well, no, there was tons of other bodies. So that's the thing. Like the lipstick killings and the fucking twig murders and stuff like that. There was a bunch of dead bodies showing up around this
time.
But
they weren't all exactly
but
the
just
same.
Not
no,
like
they
this
weren't
one.
Exactly the same, but they were fucking pretty bizarre. Just like the Black Dahlia murder, but they didn't catch on because they didn't have that fucking, you know, the catchy name and they didn't get all the press.
So maybe this motherfucker was a serial killer.
Totally. Well, that's what the guy, that Steve Hodel, his son, claims that his dad, in fact, was
like he didn't
a serial killer and could have, in fact, been the fucking Zodiac as well.
He didn't have just one set way to do it. He would follow a whole bunch of different avenues to
totally.
Murder people.
Well, there, you know, like you talk about like the fucking lipstick murders and stuff like that. And it's, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. You know what? It actually kind of makes you feel a little bit better thinking that it could have just been the one guy. Hoping that there's just
well,
one
maybe,
massive
piece
of shit.
I kind of like the occult angle of like maybe this, you know, we're giving too much credit for this to one guy and it's like a group of people, right? Because it's like, listen, he was well connected. He had well
Hollywood in the Hollywood in the 40s and 50s was a weird fucking place.
I bet you
right?
it
and
still
it's like,
is,
so maybe
man.
These things were, you know, maybe this was a thing of luring young actresses and actors and using them to do occult rituals.
This, you know, somebody
at your weird Mayan house.
Elizabeth Short actually didn't even have a single fucking acting credit.
Okay, well, I just pulled something up here. I want to see what you guys think. So you got George Hodel, right? He's usually pictured with a mustache. Now, I wonder if he always had a mustache because the Zodiac Killer is pictured.
Wow. It actually does not look that far off at all.
But Zodiac Killer is pictured with glasses, but that could easily be a disguise. You shave your mustache.
That picture, I think the picture, the fourth picture in.
This one here?
That one there? Yeah, that one. Like and then like, you go to...
Same size fucking jaw.
And then you go Zodiac Killer?
Like same jawline?
Huh.
I don't know. That's a bad. That's a bit. That's a shitty drawing.
That's a tough one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a re- like, you can make the case for anyone with a shaved face, to be honest.
Yeah. It's a.
In fact, it's definitely Zell, not Dan. Go zoom in on you. Yeah. Go zoom in on you. Zoom in on you.
Yeah. It's Zell.
Oh.
Yeah. Now zoom in on Zodiac Killer.
Yo, oh, Jesus Christ.
Andrew, get out of there.
No.
We're going to find Andrew's body bisected somewhere in the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, please don't. If do me a favor, cut it off. I don't want anybody to see it. Can you imagine just like her body, unfortunately, like all spread eagle, all fucking tiny like that. That'd be horrible.
But if I bisected you, I'd get rid of the bottom half. Don't worry.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, Braden will understand what I'm talking about. Man, I did a fucking like hit class today and I wore Under Armours. So, you know, I was pig snowing the entire time. I couldn't put it away. Yeah. It was horrible, man. No matter how many times I fucking tried to readjust, just pig snout for fucking an hour straight.
That's gotta wear a cup.
I'm gonna need to. I'm gonna start stuffing. Wear a cup.
Searching for truffles.
Yeah, fuck. Just pure pig snout in those Under Armours. It's terrible.
What do you guys think? Your final thoughts? I'd like Dan's alien abduction idea. I mean, there's hard evidence to, like, there's been other cases of unknown people, like the one in Brazil, the Pascagoula, is that what it is?
No.
But no, that's not Pascagoula. It's like Guarapiranga Dam or something. Guarapiranga Reservoir or something. Yeah.
Pascagoula.
Yeah, the reservoir. Yeah.
Pascagoula is the guys who got probed by the river.
Yeah.
From wherever that was.
Abducted by aluminum foil. Yeah.
Van down by the river.
For me, well, I mean, vampires.
Yeah. Sounds like I did it.
It was like, me.
I was there.
No, George Hodel seems. Like I just found this podcast today and I only listened to the first two episodes, but just from what I heard, it makes the most sense. This motherfucker, he had medical training.
Fucked up, man.
He was involved in law enforcement. He knew how to scrub bodies. He even scrubbed because they found her handbag and shit like down the street. Right. I don't know if we talked about that, but it was all.
Yeah. Handbag and shoe scrubbed clean by gasoline.
Yeah. Gasoline. So no prints, no nothing. Like whoever did it knew the workings of the law enforcement of the times and also knew human anatomy, which this guy knew, but he's long dead. So
you can pin it on anyone now that they're dead.
He got away with it. You know, some killers get away and he got away. Whoever it was, aliens, if it was aliens, well, you never catch them.
Well, if it was aliens, that there's just a lot of circumstances. Because, I mean, a lot of this stuff with George Hodel is very circumstantial, other than the audio recordings. Or
it's all anecdotal.
He doesn't really say that he did it. He says, he doesn't say it, like, I killed her. I killed the Black Dahlia.
That's what I mean. This guy knew the workings of law.
Nobody proceedings is, if they, you know, if they didn't do it, nobody's going to be like, so what if I did?
That's true. You know what I mean? What's the guy, he murdered like three people. His name's like Robert. They did a documentary on him. I can't remember his last name.
Making a
murder?
At
the end of the documentary, he goes into the bathroom and he's talking to himself and he goes, well, you done it now. Like, they caught you now. And he was still had a hot mic. And they've basically reopened the investigation based on that and like retried him. I can't remember his name now. But
during like the filming of the documentary? He had a hot mic? Yeah,
during the filming of the documentary, he had a hot mic, went to the bathroom after they were like grilling him on some like handwriting samples that have just recently turned up that are identical because he's like, I can't remember his last name, they found some handwriting samples where he makes the same spelling mistake that the killer did on an envelope and they show him. And then he's like, oh, it's bullshit, like leaves, goes to the bathroom with a hot mic, is looking in the mirror and he goes, well, you've done it now. Like, you're done now. They've caught you. And then his lawyer's like, no, like, nah, he was just, you know, whatever, playing around in the mirror. I'm like, no, nobody does that. Like, nobody. I can't imagine where if I was getting accused of a murder where I'd go into the bathroom after and be like, you did it, you son of a bitch, when I didn't do it.
Huh.
But that's like that. I like George Hodel because of the recordings. I'm like, those are weird things to say. You know, everyday people don't say that and admit to murder and say they're going to kill people.
We just got sent a link in chat that says a guy named Daniel Voorhees admitted to killing the Black Dahlia.
Yeah, so did fucking about 400 different whack people. Jobs.
Yeah, so who knows?
What is it? And what is it? Steve Hodell, like, believing that his father, George Hodell, like, was the killer. There's, like, at least three other people who wrote books about their parents being the Black Dahlia killer. So it's not...
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing that I kind of was at fishy. I was a little fishy at first, but... Okay, so you know what? You know what? Maybe he didn't do the fucking Black Dahlia.
He's still a
fucking diddler. Like, guys, well, just sounds like a weirdo, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still a weird guy. Anything else on the Black Dahlia? We covered. I mean, there's thousands of suspects, and like ranging from like more information to like just like, well, let's go. There were hundreds.
Well, probably you know 100. What? The only way for me to put a finishing note on this is I need to consult my cue cards. Black Dahlia, unsolved.
Unsolved.
25 people, viable suspects, but there's lots more who have been eliminated.
I got one thing I want to ask because I remember when we did Case File 9, we talked about this being somehow connected to the Alyssa Lam thing. What was the connection there?
She apparently spent some time at the Cecilia Hotel or the Cecile or whatever the fuck it was called.
Cecile.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the only connection. There was nothing else that we know of. So I just remember I remember talking about that way back when, but I didn't remember the context of why.
I don't remember making
Yeah. We did.
I did.
Yeah, we definitely did.
I brought that up in my research.
Anyways, no real connection.
This Voorhees guy was actually fucking eliminated as a suspect because his handwriting did not match the killer's notes.
And his name? Yeah, he's out. Still unsolved.
But he did date her for several times, apparently.
And it definitely wasn't Man Ray because he was frozen in tartar sauce and he was also wearing the tickle belt, which keeps him from committing violent acts.
What?
Okay.
Tickle belt?
Yeah, is tickle belt. Real? Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. They snap the tickle belt on him every time he has violent thoughts. Like it tickles him. It incapacitates him with tickling.
Nerd. What is this from?
SpongeBob.
Yeah, SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, all right. I definitely never watched that really.
Fucking good episode. Is this your wallet? This is your wallet. You dropped it on the floor. It has your ID in it. Yeah. So this is your wallet. That's not my wallet.
I've never seen.
You got fucking white. Oh god, that's a real.
I don't got time to keep up with all these shows.
Classic SpongeBob. All right. Well, let's get into this month's meat draw winner.
Boo, 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 boo. Which I need an air horn. I need an air horn sound effect. Yeah. But
yeah.
What do I got? Still can't get the.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay, I still can't get my name generator to work now that Patreon's changed their Excel spreadsheet. I'm still working on it. Next month, I'll have the wheel back working on Excel. But the random winner this month is Arya. I'm not going to say her last name. We met her at AlienCon. She brought us all NASA t-shirts. She's this month's draw winner.
I think actually Dan got two NASA shirts because the one was way too big for me.
Oh, I got two NASA shirts.
Oh, you got two.
He's got two NASA shirts. I only got one.
I got two NASA shirts.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Arya. You got some swag coming your way. Until next month, everyone, $10 or more gets you in the meat draw. Your odds are a little better if you were wondering on 25 and 50. Your odds are better. So far, I think it's been a 25 and 2 10s. But
yeah,
get in there. So your chances are greater. It's just the luck of the draw on my little Excel generator.
Excel random generator. We'll get that video version going again soon, but right now it's fucking busted.
Why don't we plug in the Randomtron and fire up a UFO case file of the week?
All right, here we go. Print, you bitch. There he goes. Get it?
We gotta go paperless at some point.
Yeah, never. We're never going paperless. Ever.
We hate trees.
Again,
hate
this is it's a fan submission. Again, if you send in a fan submission, preface your email with, this is my name and you can use it or not use it. I just got
to. Has anyone ever done that? Because like, I feel like you say this every
one person,
time.
One person has. Jesus. One person has. My name is Nick and I'm from New Jersey. I deliver for a bakery, so I'm on the road most of the night. One night, I was delivering to one of the shore points, Seaside Heights. I couldn't help but admire the clear skies above the ocean. All the lights on the boardwalk were off, so it was nice and dark. As I looked out into the sky, I began to see a bright orange light in the sky. The object didn't move at all for about 20 seconds, then seemed to disappear all of a sudden. Confused, I kept scanning the sky. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the same light north of where it was originally, a good 3 to 4 miles from where I'd seen it. Once I began watching it again, it moved faster than anything I'd ever seen. I've been to Atlantic City air shows where they do flybys and things like that, and this would have blown by any jet. The other thing I noticed as it flew off, I never heard a sound from the object. I thought I was a little crazy for about a week until I got a call from one of the guys I work with. He was doing that route that I was on the week before. He began to tell me that he was coming down the boardwalk not too far from where I was. He told me he just happened to glance up at the sky and saw a weird glowing orange light. He said it was moving slow, then would fade out and another light would pop up right near it. He said he watched it do this for about a minute before it zipped off towards the ocean and he lost track of it. He said he was so confused at what he saw, and then I told him my story. The weird fast-moving glowing object was seen by both of us close to the same area a week apart. We always talk about it because we would love to know if we saw aliens or maybe a weird craft that is top secret. Either way, this can go down as a UFO that we both witnessed. Hope you guys enjoyed my counter. Thanks, Nick. That's awesome.
That's a dope story.
That's groovy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a cool one because I like that it's the same time, right? We're seeing weird stuff going on in Dallas, right, with the drones the same time every night. I think it stopped now. But a lot of people, when they have these sights of lights and stuff, it's these periodic reoccurring incidents. So that's an interesting one. Get some corroboration of it.
I'm always jealous of these stories. I never get to see anything cool.
Because you're busy renovating the bathroom.
One day we'll get you high enough, Zell.
Busy not renovating the bathroom.
Oh, dude, I've been high enough to see stuff, but that stuff doesn't count. That stuff don't count.
I haven't seen anything yet. Nothing.
You haven't been high enough. I'll get you high. I'll get you real high.
Yeah, but are you really seeing what you think you're seeing then?
You'll fucking see things.
Yeah, it's because the rest of us look up at the night sky, Andrew. We're not going, peering over our shoulder back, right? Look for monsters and murderers.
What does that even mean?
No. We're going to get, we'll get some DMT and we'll go fucking visit the machine elves in the new dimension.
Sure. I want to try that honey. I want to get off to that honey.
Dude, people see these fucking machine elves when they do DMT. Like,
that sounds
a lot of people.
Fucking terrifying. Machine elves sound fucking terrifying.
They're like fucking building shit. It looks like Santa's workshop.
I feel like it's fucking Keebler elves that are Terminators. Santa's fucking horrifying.
It's just Santa's workshop. That's where Santa's workshop comes from. People did too much drugs and they seen these little elves like building shit. Like, oh fuck.
In the North Pole.
In the North Pole.
Doing shrooms. That sounds horrible.
Well, I don't think the landscape is the same, but people see a lot of the same stuff. We'll get to the bottom of it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll keep you posted.
I got mushrooms inside. You want some?
Hey, man, I know. I've been taking THC.
I know all about this. I know it. These drugs.
I know about drugs and devil's cabbage and being stoned. I've been there. Seriously.
Smoking the reefer. Like,
I took these fucking pills because I've been having terrible time sleeping because of my shitty fucking work schedule. So I finally gave in. I took these pills. It's supposed to only be CBD. I took them, fucking passed out like a fucking dream. Like, it was amazing. I wake up like 2 hours later, like gasping for air. And I'm like, holy fuck. I was like, I forgot how to breathe. I can't go back to bed. What happens if I forget to breathe again? I'm going to die. And I sat in my bed for like 45 minutes being like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, so
I think they gave you the wrong pills.
I think so too. I'm pretty sure I was fucking stoned. But yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
breathe.
Sounds like something I don't want to do again. So
what if I forget to breathe?
I swear to God, I sat there and it took me fucking like a half an hour to be like, what the fuck?
Like thinking about breathing and you're like thinking about it too hard.
Exactly. It's exactly what happened. Yep.
Do we have a theorite of the week?
We do have a theorite of the week. This week, it's Ethan Cox. Not just because of his name, but because he apparently has his, he told us to say that, give him a shout out. And he's a new Patreon supporter. And he says to his partner, Leanna, thanks for putting up with the regular Case Files playing while you try to sleep. So apparently she has to listen to us every night before they go to bed.
Yeah.
Poor girl. Yeah. Poor
fucking nightmare.
That's tough.
Poor lady.
Listen here.
Listen to nasally Braden.
No, listen to an extra nasally Ray Romano in your ears all night long.
Yeah. My God.
It's full of fucking heard Ray Romano the other day.
Nightmares of Ray Romano and Cheap Joe Rogan and Alex Jones.
Yeah. Pig babies, Joe. Talking pig babies.
Come on, Joe. Choke me.
Eddie,
choke me. Choke me out. I gotta go to the bathroom.
Zell, do you want to make up some more names of new Patreoners?
I'd love to make up some more names and make us seem like we're more popular than we really are. Dude, I'm telling you, these fucking people are just making up names ridiculous now. It's just to get us to read them.
Throwing them on there.
Actually,
Edith Feith.
That was a real name. You've seen that. That was a fucking real name.
Don't believe you. It's really.
Search the Patreon. You'll fucking find it. Actually, it looks like this week we got a bunch of normal names. So here we go. Sharon Knight Melville. Ethan Cox, the writer of the week. Johnny Davis. Jeremy Rodriguez. Justin Reeser. Brandon Kennedy. Pablo Sanchez. Matthew. Chaz Ulrich. Your daddy, Ron Pond. I guess could be.
He's all our daddy?
You're getting better at making up names, Zell.
Thank you. I'm working on it. Richard Northrop. Tim Rushing. And I believe that's it.
Thanks for joining, guys.
Welcome to the fold.
You know what? The last month or so, it's been about equal pluses and like new ads and deletes. And this week, we went up a few. So climbing the ladder.
Anything else before we sign out? Take this into After Hours. So if you want to hear After Hours, you got to get on our Discord channel and join us on Patreon where we talk for a little longer.
No band of the week. I know there's submissions. I just didn't get a chance to go pick through them. So if you have
renovate the bathroom,
dude, fuck
in
the
a
bathroom.
Day.
Talk about that in After Hours.
I'll talk about my bathroom renovation story in the After Hours. But if
you guys jump onto our After Hours on Discord,
yep.
As we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.